Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Kuf Gimel. We are learning today Le'ilu Nishmas, Morris Applebaum, Yaakov Moshe ben Harav Menachem Tzvi, and also Le'ilu Nishmas, Meir Mason, Meir ben Yaakov Hirsch. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. So we begin, six lines on the top, with the words, Kav Hakiteya Mani. In the Brisa that we brought down yesterday, we said that the Tana of that Brisa holds that you can do chalitza with the prosthetic limb. A person who has a below-the-knee amputation and has a wood prosthesis there and has some sort of a shoe on that, so you would be allowed to go and do a chalitza on such a kav hakiteya. So who is the author of this braisa? So the Gemara tells us, Rav Meir. This is the opinion of Rav Meir. Where do we see this? Because in Hilchos Shabbos, in the Gemara in Shabbos, it tells us the Tanan Hakiteya Yotzei Bekav Shelo Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir is of the opinion that on Shabbos, a person who is an amputee who has this prosthetic wooden peg leg is allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. It's not considered something that he's carrying. It's considered part of his guf, part of something that he's so to say wearing, and it's not considered carrying. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. In other words, he says this is basically a shoe, and it's not something that you're carrying, it's something that you're wearing. So Rav Meir holds it's a shoe, and therefore he's the opinion in our braisa that we brought down from yesterday that says that the chalitza can be done on the kav hakiteya. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer, no. Rav Yossi is oser. Rav Yossi says, no, the Shabbos, it's an iser of carrying if a person were to go out with his prosthetic wooden leg. Now, in regards to the Ampilio Shel Beged that we learned yesterday, that you can't use that for Chalitza, so that seems to go not like Rav Meir, because Rav Meir doesn't hold the din of Tachash that it has to be something made of leather that we learned out from the word Tachash from yesterday's Shia, but Rav Meir says even something wood is good, and therefore in the Sefer where it talks about Ampilio Shel Beged, that can't be Rav Meir. That must be the Chachamim. Because the Chachamim are the ones that say that a garment, a beged, that's not made out of hide is no good. So in the Sefer of the Braisa, that's the opinion of the Chachamim. But in Pilya Shel Beged, Asur L'Rabbanan. So we have a problem over here. The Reisha with the Kiteya of the wooden prosthetic, the Kav HaKiteya, that's Rav Meir. But the Sefer, the Ampil Yishol Beged, that is the opinion of the Chachamim. So that's a problem to have the same Braisa have two different authors. So how are we going to reconcile that? So I'm Abaye. Abaye says, "Need the sefer rabbanon, reishin ami rabbanon." In fact, if we're saying that the Yampil Yishol Beged is definitely the chachamim, then even the kav hakiteya is also going to be the chachamim. Aye, how come it's good? Reishin ami rabbanon. How could that be? The reisha v'mechupa. Or we're dealing over here with the wooden prosthesis being covered up with leather, and therefore it does fulfill the idea of tachash that it has to be leather, and that's why the reisha is good. But that's a separate problem. Amalei Rava. Rava says to Abaye, that's not a good teretz, because Avol ain mechupa or mai. You're agreeing then, if it doesn't have a covering of leather, then it's no good. Puzzle. But then, why are you jumping around and saying, in the Reisha, that you're dealing with mechupa shalar, so then in the Sefer, instead of jumping to an alpidilya shall beg at a sock, just say that you're dealing with a kavakiteya, then it's not mechupa ba'or. And this way, you don't have to go to a new area to teach us the din. Instead of saying in the Sefer that an Ampil Yishol Beged is no good, just lift log vidido. We always like to keep the machlokas as concise as possible and say, when is it good, when is it not good? In the Reisha, it's good if it's a kav hakiteya that's mechupa or. And in the Sefer, it's no good. B'med dvar mamurim, the mechupa or in the Reisha, aval ein mechupa or in the Sefer, puzzle. So that would be a much more clear and concise way to tell it to us, rather than saying the Reisha is talking about kav hakiteya and the Sefer is talking about Ampil Yishol Beged. Therefore, Rava says to Abaye, your teretz to say that both the Reisha and the Sefer or the Chachamim are incorrect. Therefore, Elo Amar Rava, Rava tells us, this is the way I would understand it, that the Reisha and the Sefer are both Rav Meir. Mid the Reisha Rav Meir, since the Reisha, the Kav HaKiteya, certainly could be Rav Meir, so the Sefer is also Rav Meir. Sefer Nami Rav Meir. I, how come the Ampil Yishol Beged is no good? So, Hai Megan, Hai Lo Megan. Yes, he doesn't require that it be leather, but he does require that it protect the leg. And the Kav HaKiteya, that does protect the leg, as opposed to the Ampil Yishol Beged, doesn't protect the leg, and that's why it's no good. Now we learn a new din about Chalitza. Amar Ameimar, Ameimar tells us, Hai Man De Chalitz, Tzorich Lemid Chasei Lekare. when you do the chalitza, when the woman goes to take off the shoe from the man has to have his foot, the yavam has to have his foot firmly on the ground. That's what Rashi explains. L'dimechase lidchof raglo b'karka. He has to press his foot down on the ground. So this way it's clear that she's taking the shoe off his foot and not that it slipped off his foot. Tomorrow questions and says, Omer Ravashi l'meimra, v'atanya, but we learned in another braisa, it said, ben omeid, ben yoshe, ben muta. We had this in yesterday's shiur, at the end of the shiur, at the very top of the Omer, we said that it is perfectly acceptable to do the chalitza, whether you're standing. Now, if you're standing, obviously your foot could be pressing on the ground, but if you're sitting or you're leaning, it's not so clear that your foot's pressing on the ground, and yet the braisa said that it's good. So that's what Ravashi says to a Meimer. How can you say that you have to have midchase lechari, that you have to press down hard on the ground? Certainly, if a person is sitting and leaning, they may not be pressing their foot down hard on the ground. So he says, no, Eimer, well, yolum, the dochis lechari. Even in that situation where it's good, ben omeid, ben yoshe, ben mute, it has to be definitely that your foot is pressed on the ground. So even a person's leaning, a person's sitting, their foot can be firmly on the ground, and this would fulfill the idea that it definitely didn't fall off, the shoe didn't fall off from the foot of the person, but the Yavama took it off. She did the chalitza from the foot of the Yavama. Another member from Ameimar, Yomar Meimar, he said, Haiman de maske al lechoso de kare lo cholitz. If a person has something like a club of foot, if a person doesn't walk on the sole of his foot, but he has somewhat of an inverted foot, and he ends up walking on the top part of his foot. Rashi explains in this situation that you have raglo hofuch. Your foot, so to say, is upside down. It's somewhat like a club foot, which your foot is, instead of walking on the bottom part of the foot, you're really walking on the top part of the foot. Instead of walking on what we call the dorsum, you're walking on the plantar surface of the foot, the top part of the foot. Shiragul hofuch, bedores bel yono shoregel. You're walking on the top part of the foot. Again, certain deformities, certain injuries can unfortunately cause this to occur. And a classical example of this would be somebody with a club foot. So Ameimer tells us that if somebody has a club foot, if somebody has a deformity of his foot, that he doesn't walk on the sole of his foot, he only walks on the top part of his foot, he can't have chalitza done on him. He can't participate in the chalitza. One of the other brothers had to do this, or this would be similar to a person who doesn't have a foot. He has an above-the-knee amputation, where, as I mentioned in a previous year, Rav Shapta Shlita, the said over the name of the Rav, in that situation, you have to do yibum, you can't do chalitza if there's no other brother. So this is what Ameimer said. Ravashi questions this. Omele Ravashi Lameimer. He says, wait a second, but Tanya, but we learned previously in that braisa, it said, sumuchos haraglayim. If a person is paralyzed and he has to pull himself forward with his hands and he wears some sort of a protection, a cushion for his knees, that they don't get scraped away. And these are called the smuchos. Smuchos haraglayim. So we said in the braisa that the chalitza with the smuchos haraglayim is good. Now obviously, isn't this person lav decholiz bat yihu? We're talking about this person who is paralyzed and can't move his feet and has to pull himself along with his arms, and he has this protective equipment, this smuchos haraglayim, on his knees, on his lower foot, so he's not walking on his foot, and yet this is perfectly good. So how can you, a Meimer, say that it has to be a person who walks on the bottom of his foot? Here, the guy who has the smuchos haraglayim doesn't walk on the bottom of his feet, yet chalitza, we said, is good. So he says, no, you misunderstood. When we said that the smuchos haraglayim is good, lo, it's not for that person. It's that he takes those smuchos and gives them to a healthy person, who then places them on the bottom of his foot, uses them as some sort of a cushion, and walks with them. The Yoav Leli Acher, this other person, the Yoavam, is now having those smuchos haraglayim on his bottom of his foot, on the sole of his feet, and that's perfectly acceptable. As we had previously said, you don't have to even own it yourself, you just have to have it, and it's given over to you as a kinyan, for chalitz, and then he can undergo chalitza. Furthermore, Amar Ravashi, Ravashi said, based upon what Ameimer just taught us, that a person who can't walk on the bottom of his feet can't do chalitza, l'may d'kamar Meimer, based on what Meimer said, these two people who were eulogizers, well-known eulogizers, who unfortunately hurt Ravashi, they gave him a tremendous amount of distress, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu punished them so that their feet became upside down. So the sole was facing upward and the top of the foot was facing downward. And Ravashi is telling us that based upon what Meimer said, these two people couldn't undergo chalitza. The Orach Laner adds, the Ravashi was saying this is according to a Meimer. He personally disagreed with that, but he's saying, Lamai to call my Meimer. That which a Meimer said, that would apply to these two people. In addition, alternatively, it's possible that they had some additional deformity that Ravashi is adding and saying that these two people had even more of a deformity and they certainly couldn't do chalitza based upon what a Meimer is telling us. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah where it said, if you had a below-the-knee amputation, you could do chalitza, but an above-the-knee amputation, so then you can't do chalitza. So, min ha'akuvah l'mata v'chulei. So the Gemara questions and says, or Rimini, but we have another Braisa that seems to disagree with this. The Braisa tells us that we have to go Shlosh Regolim to the Beis HaMikdash. And this terminology of Regolim, Shlosh Pim Bashanah, three times each year, you have to go up, it uses the Lashon of Regal. And that, we learned, was Prat Lebali Kabin. Only people that could walk up were obligated in Aliyas HaRegel, but not somebody who has an amputation. Now, the Torah seems to say that if you have an amputation, you're not obligated in the Aliyas HaRegel because it's not called a Regel. But our Mishnah said that an amputee could, in fact, have Chalitza done. So there seems to be a steer between the Shlosh Regolim and the Din of Chalitza. So Moshe says, no, the reason why it's different is Shani Hocha, in regards to Chalitza, the Pasuk says, Dirsiv, Me'al Raglo. The Yavama has to go take the shoe off from upon his foot, from on top of his foot, which means the Chalitza can be even above the foot. Whereas opposed to the Regal, the Shlosh Regolim, that's specifically referring to the Regal. And therefore, you have to have a Regal. If you don't have a Regal, you're not obligated in the Shlosh Regolim. Of course, you can go, but you're not obligated. As opposed to Chalitza, even if you don't have the foot part, as long as you have above the foot, below the knee, you still have leg, so then you can have Chalitza done. So Moshe says, if that's true, Ihachi, then why not Lamalam and Arkuvanami? So that's also Me'al Raglo. So why isn't an above the knee amputation also able to have Chalitza done? So Moshe explains, no. Me'al, below, me'al demal. Yes, above the foot is fine, but not above the foot. In other words, if it's above the knee, that's too far up. It's not considered acceptable. Above the foot, but below the knee, that is considered an acceptable way to do chalitza still. On Rapapa adds and he says, Shmamina, hai istavira, this angle joint. Rashi says this is known as the kabila, which is hamafsekis being shok lorega, that separates the lower leg from the foot. So the ankle joint that we're discussing over here, the istavira, ad aranochis, it goes all the way down to the ground. And this teaches us that that's considered as if it's on the ground. So the bones in the leg that go from the ankle to the knee, they're considered as if they're on the ground. Because these soker daitoch mifsaf pisik, if you're going to tell me that there's a separation between the ankle joint and this bone that goes from the ankle up to the knee, the tibia and the fibula, so then, then the ankle joint would be me'al, the ankle joint would be above the foot, and then what is above the ankle would be the tibia and the fibula. So in that situation, you would say that they were me'al, and that would be no good. So Kamash Balan, Rav Papa is telling us that these two bones that connect the ankle up to the ankle is not considered a separate entity, it's considered part of the foot. However, Rav Ashi doesn't like this. I'm Rav Ashi, afilu temo mifsak posik. No, even if you want to say that the ankle is considered a separate entity from the foot, nevertheless, called the bahade kara kikara domi. Since it's on the same row, it's on the same level as the foot, the ankle is, so to say, close enough to the foot to be considered level with the foot, so therefore it's not considered me'al the regel, and therefore the bones from the ankle to the knee are still considered me'al and not me'al the me'al. Then we quote the Mishnah, which says, min arkuvu l'mahala, but if it's an above-the-knee amputation, so then that person cannot undergo chalitza. Masa Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana asked the following question, though. The Pasuk says, uvishul yaso hayotzeis mibein raglecha. We have in Chumash, it tells us that in the Tochacha, in Devarim, it tells us that there will be terrible calamities that will befall the Jewish people, and if we don't do the mitzvos, then we're going to be stuck. And it says that we're going to have the shilya, which is the placenta, coming out bibein raglel. So now, where does the placenta come out? It comes out from higher up on the woman's body. So it comes out in between her thighs. So how can you say it calls it mibein raglea? Here you're telling me that raglea only includes the ankle and the sole and the heel, the flat bottom part of the foot, and it doesn't include the thigh. But here it says that the shilya, the placenta, comes out mibein raglea and comes out in between her thighs. And therefore, raglea does include the thighs. So it seems to be a stira to ragamara. So Abai says it's not a stira. Abai, bishah shekoras, when a woman bends over, lele, she's in the birthing position, and she's squatting down. So now, where the shoya comes out, where the baby would come out, the placenta would come out, she's almost on the ground, so that's considered bein ragla, in between her feet, because her thighs are actually bent. And no etzes akeveha b'yachosel b'yoledes. So basically, her heels are coming up against her behind, and the shoya, and the fetus, and the placenta come out bein ragleha, because her thighs are bent over, and therefore that fulfills this pasuk in the Tochacha, and we don't have to say that the thighs are included in ragla. Try again. Where it says Toshma, I'll show you another place where the thigh seems to be called the regel. It says that Mephibosheth, who was very loyal to David HaMelech, was mourning the fact that David had to run away from Avshalom during the rebellion of Avshalom, so he didn't go and cut his hair and didn't go and do things with his raglayim. Lo aso raglov, lo aso sfamo. What does this mean, lo aso raglov? So Rashi says that it means, lo aso raglov means lo hesir seyar zokein hatachton. He didn't go and remove his pubic hair. And he didn't go and remove his mustache. Lo aso sfamo. So this was a sign normally of a mourner. In other words, Mephibosheth was very, very upset that David HaMelech was leaving in disgrace and that Avshalom looked like he was going to be successful in his rebellion. And Mephibosheth, who was a very loyal servant of David HaMelech, even though he was, according to many, Yonasan's son and was from Malchus Shaul, nevertheless, he was loyal to David. And in fact, when David saw him, David misunderstood. David accepted, unfortunately, some Lashon Hara from the Eved of Mephibosheth. And as a result, this led to the splitting of Malchus Beis David into the northern kingdom and into the Malchus Yehuda. Anyway, that's a story for another time. Very interesting discussion of this in the Navi. But the pasuk tells us over here, lo aso raglov, lo aso sfamo. The raglov it's referring to is his thighs. So how can you tell me that the thighs aren't included in a raglayim? And that's me'al, me'al. No, it should be me'al raglayim. So where it says, no, this is just Lishna Ma'alya. When it refers to his raglayim over here, it's referring to the regel instead of the thighs as a tznius. It's a Lishna Ma'alya. It's a euphemism, and it doesn't literally mean that the thighs are called the raglayim, but it didn't want to say the thighs, so it said raglayim. Try again, Toshma. It says, Vayavo Shaul lohosech his raglav. When Shaul was running after David, so he went inside a cave to go and take care of his personal needs, went to the bathroom there, and it says, Vayavo Shaul lohosech his raglav, and he covered up his raglayim. Now, he's referring here to urination, so it says that he was hosech his raglav, he covered up his thighs, and you see that that is a lashon, the thighs are called raglayim. So again, the Gemara answers a similar answer, Lishna Ma'alya. It's using over here a nicer language rather than saying his thighs. It uses the terminology raglav, but really meant his thighs. But it uses the term raglav not to teach us that the thighs are raglav, but just to use a nicer lashon, Lishna Ma'alya. Again, try again. Toshma. Ach mesich hu, and the word es should be added over here. Ach mesich hu es raglav b'chadar hamikera. What is this referring to? The great shofet known as Ehud. And Ehud killed Eglon Melech Moab in a very, very secretive and interesting fashion. He got a silent audience, a private audience with Eglon, and he was able to go and secretly bring in a sword. He was able to hide it, and he killed Eglon while Eglon was coming out from the bathroom. Now, Ach mesich hu es raglav b'chadar hamikera. So he was covering up his raglayim in the bathroom area. So it again refers over here to urinating, and yet it says he covered up his thighs, and it calls them raglayim. So here we have again another example where raglayim refer to the thighs, and the Gemara gives the same answer as before, lishtam aya. The Gemara and Chazal, Tanakh, they always try to use the most clean language possible. So, for example, we don't even have sometimes names for various parts of the body. We call them osomakum, that very place, rather than giving it a name. So, Lishna Ma'aya, we use much cleaner, nicer language. So, all of these psukim that we just brought down are not referring to the thighs. They call them raglayim out of a sense of tznius, out of a sense of using Lishna Ma'aya. Finally, we try again. Bein raglel v'chule. This is a famous reference to Yael, that Yael went and had to seduce Sisera in order to be able to kill him, and it says that they had relations seven times, as the Gemara will tell us in a moment. And it says, Bein ragleha,
He went in between her legs. He had relations with her 7 times. And this Bein Ragleha is a reference to her thighs, and yet it calls them Raglayim. So maybe the thighs are also referred to as Raglayim in regards to Chalitza, and an above-knee the amputation is incorrect. They should be able to undergo Chalitza. And the Gemara again gives the same parrots, Lishne Ma'alya. This is a nice language that we want to use. It really meant over here the thighs, but it didn't want to call them the thighs. It used the term Ragleha, but don't think for a second that the thighs and Raglayim are one and the same. Since we started talking a little bit about Yael and Sisro, the Gemara further darshens that and tells us that Sisro actually had 7 times relations with Yael. Amar Yochanan, Sheva Be'ilos Baal Oso Rasha Be'oso Hayom. When he came looking to run away from the battle, where he was defeated by Barak ben Abinoam and Devorah, Ashes Lapidos, so they defeated Sisro when he ran away from the battle. And he went to hide in Yael's house, and he had relations with her 7 times. This was part of her plan to get him sleepy, and she able then to decapitate him and kill him. So it says, how do we know that he had these relations with her 7 times? Because the pasuk says the usage of the term 7 times, something to the effect of he laid with her. Shemar bein ragleha kora nofal shachov. That's 3. Bein ragleha kora nofal. That's 2 more. Kara Sham, Nofal Shadur. So Kara and Nofal is another 2. So altogether, it uses these verbs 7 times to teach us that he had 7 times relations with her. Now, how could she do this? It says Yael was greater than all the other Noshim Sikonios. So how could Yael be praised for having relations with this Rasha? She was doing an Aveira, which the Gemara elsewhere says was an Aveira Lishma. Normally we have a concept of Yitoch Shalol Lishma Bolishma. So here we have a very unusual thing, and it's like a professional driver on a professional course. Don't try this at home. So only under very, very, very selected circumstances is a person allowed to do an Aveira Lishma. So if you're on the level of Yael, who's praised more than all the Imos even in some ways, so then you can do this. But in general, there is no such thing as an Aveira Lishma ever being permitted. But here, she was able to do so. But the Gemara says, but she got Hanoah from the Saveira. So how can you praise her so much? After all, she enjoyed the pleasure of having the relations. So Rabbi Yochanan said over there, Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't hear it directly, mentioned many times. He heard it through his Rabbeim, who heard it from their Rabbeim, all the way back to Rabbi Shimon Yochai, several generations beforehand. Kol tovosin shorishayim, anything that a Rasha does that seems to be good for you is actually bad. As we turn to Chuf Gimel Amud Beis, Ra he eats old tzaddikim. It's never really good. It looks like it might be good from some sort of a objective point of view, but whenever a Rasha wants to do something that seems to be good for you, it's actually bad for you. Where do we know this from? It says by Yaakov Avinu, Shenemar. Well, Lavan ran after Yaakov to go and chase after him. So the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Lavan and told him, Hishomelcha, you better be very careful. Pen to daberim Yaakov mitov adra. Don't speak anything to Yaakov, not good, not bad. Now, understanding why he was told, don't speak bad. Bishlam Ra, we understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Lavan, hey, don't say anything bad to Yaakov. But Lechai, how come for something good, Alatova my law, why couldn't he speak to him something good? After all, what could possibly be wrong with him speaking something good to Yaakov? And here's what we learn out. Elishmamina, you see clearly from this story that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Lavan, don't even say something good to Yaakov, because we learn from here, Tovasan Shorishayim, Rohi Eitzel Tzadikim. What Lavan thinks is a good thing to tell Yaakov is actually a bad thing. So therefore, Yaakov didn't want to have anything to do with Lavan. And Hashem said to Lavan, don't say good, don't say bad. Now the Gemara says, Bishlama Hasam, we can understand by Lavan that anything that he might say good would actually be bad for Yaakov, because Dilma Midkarlei Shema Devodas Kochavim. Because you know what? As he's praising Yaakov, he wants to give a bracha to Yaakov, he brings out his getchka, he had the trophim, and he was going to say, you know, my trophim bless you, and he's going to mention the shame of an Avodah Zarah, and that's why it's bad, even though he's saying a bracha, but he's using Avodah Zarah. So we can understand why that would be HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Lavan, don't say good or bad, because he's saying good, he might give credit to his getchka, his Avodah Zarah. However, Elohacha, in the case of Yael and Sisro, my Ra Ika, what possibly harm could it be if Sisra, quote, benefits Yael, if he gave her pleasure by having the relations? So Gemara says, no. The Koshadi Bo Zuama. When he is with her, so he's injecting into her this tumah, this zuhama. Right? In modern Hebrew, infectious diseases are called machalot zuhamiyot. So he's injecting into her, he's infusing her, rachmona litzlan, with this zuhama, with this impurity, with this tremendous tumah. The Omer of Yochanan, we see from Yochanan, Mishor Shabbat Nochash al Chava. The Medrash tells us that the Nochash HaKadmon, their primordial snake, was actually an erect creature walking on two legs, had the ability to speak, and he was jealous of Adam, and he tried to get Adam killed by having him eat from the Eitz Hadas so he could seduce Chava. And in fact, the Medrash tells us, and the Gemara here says that he did seduce Chava, and he had relations with Chava. And Bishor Shabbat Nochash al Chava, the Nochash had relations with Chava. He put into her this tumma, which she carried all the way through her and her descendants until Klai Yisrael went to Har Sinai. Yisrael shamdu al Har Sinai poska zuhamoson. This tumma only stopped at Har Sinai when we started, so to say, to have a new start in life, and we were now pure again at Har Sinai. But until then, the zuhama that the Nachash had put into her remained. So Ovi Kochav Shlo under Bar Sinai Lo Paskuzu Masan, but this tumah that entered into the world when Chava had relations with the Nochash HaKadmon. So in this situation, their Zuama never left him. So Sisra had this Zuama inside of him when he had relations with Yael. He injected in her this Zuama. So that's why it was bad for Yael. Then we quote the Mishnah. The next part of the Mishnah said, "Chol tzo b'minol sheino shelo v'chulei." We said that even if the chalitza was done with a shoe that didn't belong to the Yavam, he borrowed the shoe from somebody else, it's good. But the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanon." The pasuk says, "Nalo." It has to be his shoe. When the Yavama takes off his shoe, it has to be his shoe. Eli ela nalo. It seems to imply that it has to be his shoe. Nal shel kol odem minayin. How do we know that he could be wearing somebody else's shoe and nevertheless the chalitza would work? Talmud lomar nal, because the pasuk tells us. And the next pasuk, it says, it doesn't have to be na'alo, a na'al is perfectly good. The next pasuk says, beis chalutz ha'na'al. So therefore, na'al mikol makom. Any na'al, even if it's not his own, is good. Aye, then why did it say na'alo? And came out talamu na'alo. So the Gemara tells us, na'alo ha'royalo. It has to be a shoe that will fit him. Even if it's not his, it has to be a shoe that will fit him. And this would exclude, prat legodo shen yochel ha'alokbo. If the shoe's too big, he takes a big basketball player's shoe, a size 24. He's a size 10, and he takes a size 24, so he can't walk in that. So that would be no good. Or prat lekotan, he takes a very tiny person's shoe. So the guy is a size 5, and he's a size 10. He can't get into the shoe most of his foot. So prat lekotan, shen yochel ha'rov got raglo. So these types of shoes, if they're borrowed shoes, are no good. And as well, uprat l'sandal ha'mesuloyim she'en lo okay. And likewise, it would come to exclude a sandal that was broken and had no bottom part. It had no sole. So therefore, in this situation, all of these types of shoes are no good. But if it's a borrowed shoe, it actually would work fine. Although the Gemara is now going to tell us a little bit more about this. And we have the following story. Abaye Habakoi Kamei de Rav Yosef. Abaye once went in front of his Rebbe Rav Yosef and Asai Yavama Lachlos. And the Yavama came to have Chalitza done. Amar Lei, so Rav Yosef said to Abaye, take off your shoe and give it to the Yavam. Have Lei Sandaloch. Give the Yavam your sandal. Fine. So what did Abaye do? Abaye, the Mefarshim tell us, did not agree with his din that it could be somebody else's shoe. He said it has to be your shoe. So Yav Lei Sandlo the smaller. So instead of taking off his right sandal, his right shoe, he gave his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, his left sandal, his left shoe. Now, that's only good bidyevet, as we learned previously, that you should ideally use the right shoe. But if, in fact, you use the left shoe, it would be good, but only bidyevet. So that sparked Rav Yosef to say to him, Amar Lei, Rav Yosef said to Abaye, when do we say that the left shoe is good? Only bidyevet. Eimah d'yomer rabbanon d'yevet. L'chatchila miyomer. Why are you giving me your left shoe? It's only good bidyevet. So why are you doing something bidyevet that you're using the left shoe? You should have given me the right shoe. So Abaye is able to then tell his Rebbe, Rebbe, Amalei, Ihachi sandal she'eno shalom nami. When the rabbi said that if you're using somebody else's sandal, it's good, that's only bidyevet. L'chatchila, you should use your own shoe. So Eimah d'yomer rabbanon d'yevet. L'chatchila miyomer. So Rebbe, why did you ask for my shoe? You should have asked this person, the Yavam, to go get his own shoe. Why did you ask me for my shoe? That's bidyevet. So that's why I gave you the left shoe to signify over here that are we doing something bidyevet? We should do lechachila. So Rabbi Yosef explains to Abayi, no, I was doing lechatchila amalei hachi kaminaloch. This is what I was telling you. Take off your right shoe. He didn't say right shoe, but take off your right shoe and havle v'yaknile. Give it to the yavam and make a kinyan with him. So now it's his shoe. Oh, once it's his shoe, so then that removes any bidyevet aspect to it and makes it lechatchila. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah again, where we said sandal shel eitz is also acceptable according to the Tana of the Raisa. You can use a wooden sandal for chalitza. Who's the author of Mishnah? Mantana. So Amar Shmuel the Rameyer, as we had said previously, this is the opinion of Rameyer. That not hakitei Yosi b'kav shelo. This was the opinion that we said before that on Shabbos he considers the wooden prosthetic that the amputee has to be part of the person. It's not something that you're carrying. It's something that you're wearing, and therefore it would be acceptable like a shoe for chalitza. On the other hand, we said Rabbi Yossi disagrees and said, no, that would be carrying. And therefore, just like there it's carrying, it's not part of the person. So to over here, it wouldn't be able to be undergoing chalitza with this wooden shoe, with the wooden prosthesis. Alternatively, Avu d'Shmuel Omer, b'mechupa or b'direkol. Or, like we said previously already, that we're dealing here with this prosthetic. This wooden prosthetic had a covering of leather on it, and then even Rav Yossi would say that it's perfectly good. Certainly Rav Meir would say that it's good, but even Rav Yossi would say then, he darshens tachash, that it has to be made of leather. So here, it is wood, but it's surrounded, it's covered up by leather. It's mechupa ba'or, and that would be good, even according to Rav Yossi, certainly according to Rav Meir. The Gemara continues and says, "I'm a Rav Papi, Mishmei de Rava. Rav Papi said the name of Rava, sandal hamuzgar, a sandal that comes from a house that it wasn't clear does it have tsaras or not. Just like we have a mitzora that's muzgar and a mitzora that is muchlat, so do we have a house where it's not clear yet if it has tsaras or it is definitely declared to have tsaras, and then it's called a muchlat." So you have this sandal hamuskar. So you have a sandal that may or may not definitely have tsaras. It's in this limbo state. So lo tachlutzbo. You're not only go use this sandal to go and do chalitza with. Because lechatchila, you shouldn't use it because maybe it's going to end up to be a lesion and it's going to be destroyed. However, v'imcholza, since right now it doesn't have a definitive lesion, so if you did chalitza with it, chalitza sekshera. Bidyevet, it would be an acceptable chalitza if you use such a sandal hamuskar. The sandal had a certain tumor to it that we're not sure did it or did it not have definitive tsaras to it, so it's in the muskar status, and therefore you could use it bidyevet. However, if it was sandal hamuchlat, if it was definitely declared to be a sandal has tsaras, again, tsaras can be on a person, tsaras can be on clothing, like a sandal, or it can be on a house. So you have over here, it's on this sandal, it's definitely declared to be a mitzora lesion, tsaras on the sandal, it's muchlot, it's definitive, so then lo tachlot's boat. You're not allowed to do chalitza with it because we consider it has to be burned, and therefore it's mitzik shiura. It's as if the shear is cut off and it doesn't have a sufficient shear. It's not considered to be capable of doing the mitzvah or the action of chalitza. Lo tachlot's boat, even bidyevet. Even if you use the bidyevet, chalitza so pasula. It's not a good chalitza. We had a similar idea when we were learning the halachos of lulav and esrog, that if it was the lulav of Hashera, if it was the lulav of avodah zara, so it's a mitzvah chisusei shiura, as if the shear is cut off. And it's when you have over here with the mitzvah, we have the similar principle of kola omid lisarv kisarv dami. We view it as already being burned, and therefore it doesn't have a sufficient shear to cover up the leg. So that is what is the difference between sandal hamuskar, which isn't definitely declared to be usur, so it still has the shear, versus a sandal hamuchlot, which is definitely considered to be the isur of tsaras, and it has to be burned, and therefore it is as if it doesn't have a significant shear, and therefore the chalitza, even b'dievet, is possible. That's the opinion of Rav Papi in the name of Rava. On the other hand, Rav Papa, don't confuse Rav Papi and Rav Papa, Rav Papa, Mishmei the Rava Omar, Echot sandal muskov, echot sandal muchlot, lo tachlos bo. No, you can't use certainly the sandal muchlot. He agrees with Rapapi, but he says, even the sandal hamuskar, I disagree with Rapapi, and I say, Rapapa says in the name of Rava, that you can't even use a sandal hamuskar. Don't use either of them, lechatchila, lo tachlos bo lechatchila. However, vim chalta, but if you used either one of them, the muskar and even the muchlot, bidyevet, chalitzoso kishera. He doesn't say, we say, mirtzas kisuse shiura. We don't say, haba lisarev kilu sarev domi. If it requires sreifa, it's considered as if it's sarev already now. He doesn't agree with that. And therefore, right now, it physically has a size to cover up his foot. So therefore, it's not considered that it's lacking the proper size. So that's the fundamental difference between Rav Papi, who says, ome lisarev kisarev domi, and Rav Papu, who doesn't agree with that over here. More questions, Rapapi. Meisvei. We learned in the following Mishnah in Negoyim. It said, Bayis hamuskor mitame mitocho. If you have a house that it's questionable, does it or does it not have a neg of tzaras, it's in the muskor, the limbo state. So if a person enters into that house, mitame mitocho, if he enters inside of it, he does become tome. And this is true, even if he only enters partially inside of it, he just sticks his finger inside of it, he becomes tome. That's where bayis hamuskor mitame mitocho. If it's a bias that's mukhlat, so then mitocho umeachorov. Then it transmits tumma to the person when he goes inside of it, and even if he's meachorov. What does it mean, meachorov? Even if he doesn't enter it, he just touches it from the outside, he also becomes tome. And by the way, bezevzeh mitamin bevia, if he certainly enters inside of the house, not just he puts his finger inside of it, he puts part of his body inside of it, but if he enters inside of it, so then certainly he becomes tome. Rashi explains the Dira Masch in the time of Bia. Im nichnas derech Bia, if you enter into the house in the normal way of entering, kivan shenichnas rubo lesocho, as soon as you enter the majority of your body inside of this house, tome, mishum vahboel habayis, is tome. Umikroi nafgalon vitoris kohanim, the psukim from Vayikra point out, the muskor metame mitocho velomenachorov, that the muskor is only tame on the inside but not on the outside, and the muchlot, it says, Tomihu, Hosif lo Tuma Acheres, has an additional Tuma, which is teaching us that it's Matami even from the outside. So that's this basic drasha, which is going to lead up to our question now. Where it says, V'ha bo'inon, v'ha bo'el abayis, for the person to become Tomi, he has to enter into the house, v'leka, but according to Rav Papi, since this house is a house that is muchlot, it's waiting to be destroyed. So it's as if the house doesn't exist. It's michses kisuse shiura. It's omed lisarev kisarev tomei. So how can you become tomei by going inside of it? It's as if it's not there. Kashan rapapi. Someone says, no. Shiny hasim, it's different. Because the pasuk tells us, the omar kor avinot says it's a bias. You'll go and destroy the house. But it still calls it a house, even though it's omed lisarev, omed to be destroyed. I feel it was netitza, even though it's waiting to be destroyed, nevertheless, kori bias. It still has the halachic status of being a bias. That's why, even though you enter this house that's about to be destroyed or is waiting to be destroyed, it's still considered as if you entered into the house. So this is different by the nega, as opposed to, in regards to the chalitza shoe, if it's a sandal ha-mukhlot, so then it's as if kisusi mechsa shiura, omei lisarv kisarv tami, and there is considered not a sufficient shear of the shoe in order to fulfill the requirement that the chalitza has to be the majority of the lek. Again, we question Rav Papi. Toshma, we have matlis sheyesh bo shalosh al shalosh. If you have a cloth that is three etzbos, shalosh over here means etzbos. Shalosh could mean either amos or etzbos. If we wanted to say tfachim, we would have said shlosha, the masculine term. So when we're dealing here over here with shalosh al shalosh, it means etzbos. You can tell by the content. And that is a very small garment that's only three etzbos, three finger breadths. It's about an inch, a little bit less than an inch. You measure an etzba by the width of the joint of the thumb, the most distant joint of the thumb, what's called the distal joint of the thumb. So that width is the definition of an etzba. So if you have three thumbs at the width, at the widest point, so then that is the minimal shear for a garment to be considered capable of accepting tzaras. So it tells us, matlis, the shmata, this piece of cloth, sheesh bo shalosh shalosh, is only three etzbos by three etzbos, afu pi shemo kezayis, even though it doesn't have the size of a kezayis, it's smaller than a kezayis. In other words, it's a very small item, kiva shenichnas ruba lebeis tar, if you brought the majority of this 3x3 etzba garment into a house, timasu, if it was tame, it will make the house tame. We're dealing here that this garment was tame with tumma of a nega, so this nega will make the entire house tame. Now, why is it a question of a papi? My lav mukhlat. This arm we're twirling over here with a garment that's mukhlat. Now, if it's mukhlat, so then, according to a papi, it's kisusi mechsa shiura. The shear is gone. So it doesn't have the shear of three etzbos by three etzbos because it's omed lisarv kisarv tami. So how come it's mitami the house if you bring this three by etzba by three etzba garment into a house? It's as if you're bringing in something that's less than three etzba by three etzba into the house and it should not be mitami it. That's the kasha of a papi. Gemara answers, we're not dealing with a garment that was mukhlat, we're dealing with a garment that is musgeres, lo, musgeres. So this is a garment that isn't yet awaiting to be omed lisorv kisorv dabi. It's not kisusi mechsa shiura, and as a result, it is metame the whole house. So that's how Rapapi would answer this. Gemara says, ihachi, if that's true, then we have another problem. Ema seifo, keep on reading the braisa. Hayubo kamazaisim, if in fact you had a much bigger piece of garment. So it had many zeisim. It was much bigger than 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos. And as a result, as soon as you brought even a kezias's worth of this garment into a house that's tar, kivish nichnas nimera kezias labayis tar, timashu, it does make the entire house tame. Now, if you're telling me that we're dealing over here with a garment that was vaday tome, it was muchletes, haimudis kishlemes. So that's why we compare it to a kizayis, because a kizayis of a mace is the shear that transmits tumah. And that's why we use over here the term of a kizayis. Eliyamis musgeris. But if you're telling me that the garment only was musgeris, it didn't have definitive status of being saraz, amayis kishlemes. How come we're comparing it to a mace? It's not the same comparison. Only a mukhlat type of tumah is compared to a mace, but a musker type of a tumah is not compared to a mace. I should point out that Rashi tells us over here that the difference whether this garment holds a kezias or doesn't hold a kezias is actually based upon how tight the stitching is. In Dibra Maskel, Hoyibo Kamazesin, Rashi says, the Ein Ba'el Gimel Gimel. It's not that it's a larger garment than Gimel Etzbos by Gimel Etzbos, like I intimated. But Rashi says, Ela Shechuta, the threads are over a thicker. And now when a kizayis worth goes in there, even though it's not 3 by 3 etzbos that's going inside, afbi she'enkan beged, daha lo ol ruba, even though the entire garment didn't go inside, it is considered hasn't even been inside. Now, this is again only true if you're dealing with mukhla, because that's only where we use the size of a kizayis, because that's what we compare it to tumas meis. But muskur isn't compared to tumas meis, so it's a kasha. How can you understand it this way? So again, the Gemara says, shiny hasum, it's different. Why is it different? The Amar Krah, because the Pasuk specifically tells us in regards to Tzaraz, it says, v'saraf es habeged. Again, we call the item that is waiting to be burned, even though it's mukhlat, it's definitely a nega, we still call it a beged. So afilu b'shas sreifa, even though it's waiting to be burned, omen lisarav kisarav dami, nevertheless, the Torah itself still calls it kari beged, afilu b'shas sreifa kari beged, and therefore, that is telling us that we don't apply the rule of rapapi in this situation. Shmuel says, okay, so let's learn from this din to all the other dinim. The ligmar minei, that by chalitza, the shoe is also, if it's a sandal that is tummy with a nega, that's mukhla, so we shouldn't apply kisusi mikhsa shiura over there, omen disar and kisarv dummy, in regards to chalitza as well. Shmuel says, no. There's two different types of situations here. By the nega, that's tumma. And by chalitza, that's a question of isa vehetta. Is this woman muteris lashuk or is she not muteris lashuk? Isser mituma lo gamrina. And you can't learn out the laws of chalitza from the laws of tumma. Isser can't be learned out from tumma. The two aren't comparable. And therefore, just because the Torah tells us that by mukhlat, by a sandal mukhlat, that in regards to tumma, it's still called beged. In regards to tumma, it still is considered like it is having a shear. And we don't say kisusi mechsa shiura, omid lisarv kisarv dami. But you can't say the same thing by chalitza. And by chalitza, we do in fact say that if it's mukhla, you can't make chalitza with it because it's as if it doesn't have an adequate shear. How do we paskin? Omar Rava tells us, Hilchasa, the halach is as follows. Echot sandal a muskar. Whether you're dealing with a sandal that's muskar, it's not a definitive tumma. Or the echot sandal shemukhla, or it is a definitive tumma. Or the echot sandal shalavodas kochabim, which is also by no, low tachlots. You're not allowed to do chalitza with them, but that's only lichat chila. Lo tachlots lichat chila. However, vimcholtza, after the fact, if you did chalitza, chalitza sekshera. Rava paskins that the chalitza is good, bidi eved. Certainly, the shoe that was only a sandal hamuskar, that certainly was never kisusi mechsus, and might pasnish to use that originally, because it may come to use then something that truly is not good, so we shouldn't do that l'chadchila, but b'dievet, it certainly would be good. But even the mukhlat, even the sandal of mukhlat, Rava doesn't agree with the idea, kisusi mechsa shiur, that we consider the shiur to be totally gone, and Rava is telling us that we don't consider that to be the case over here. And that's why b'dievet, chalitza suk shera. However, when you're dealing with Shel Takrovas Avodas Kochavim, but if this shoe was having been brought as Avodah Zorah, as Rashi says in Dira Maskul Shel Takrovas Avodas Kochavim, Shekrivu Masru Lefan of Lashem Doran, they brought this shoe as a present to the Avodah Zorah, and we learn the Gemara in Avodah Zorah, but Kaim Alon, Takrovas Avodas Kochavim, Ein Lo Bitul Olamis, it can never be nullified. The Iskish Lemes, it's like a mace. They'll say, the Yochlu Zivche Mesim, because the Avodah Zorah is referred to over here, the eating Zivche Mesim. Hilkach less later kanta. There's no way to undo this. Ukisuse mechsas shiura, and it's as if the shear is totally gone. So when it comes to takrovas of Avodas Kochavim, and we turn to kuf dalet omen aleph, similarly with the ir anidachas, which is also an entire city that's waiting to be burnt, all the property inside of it, if the majority of the people in the city never worship the Avodah Zarah. And likewise, shozokin also lichvodo. If you have, as Rashi says in Dira Masel, shozokin also lichvodo tachriche misa. You have the burial shrouds, hov lav lihilucha of it, they're not used for walking, so lav nalu. So if you put some sort of footwear on as the burial shrouds, so then they're not considered a proper nal, lo tachlot, so yimholtza chalila sasa pesula. Here in all of these three situations, we do say, kisus yimechza shiura, so if you have an avodah zarah sandal, or you have a sandal from an ir nidachas, or if you have a sandal that was essentially being used for a dead person, so then you can't even do chalitza with these types of sandal, even b'diavad. It's no good. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Ravina asked Ravashi, Maishna Zokin also lichvodo, when you're talking about the tachrichim, the sandal that was made for the mace, it's the lav lihilucha of it, it's because the mace isn't walking around, it's purely for the cover of the mace, and therefore it's not considered a shoe, the beidin or nami lav lihilucha of it. So wait a second, when you have the sandal that the base din has, there's shiurim going on, and you read about how, if you want to see what a chalitza shul shoe really looks like, so this beis din has one, or there's going to be a chalitza. It's a rare event nowadays, and everybody comes rushing to see what the chalitza shoe looks like. So that shoe's also lav lehilucha of it. That's the beis din's chalitza shoe. Nobody's walking home with that. So how come that's allowed? If the Zokin's shoe for the tachrichim, that is considered lav lehilucha, so isn't the Beis Din's chalitza shoe also lav lehilucha? So Gemara says, no, it's different there. Amalei, Ravina asked this question to Ravashi, so Ravashi responds to Ravina and he says, Ilu maske be shilucha de beidina, mi kopet alo dayana? This chalitza shoe that the Beis Din has, so if the shaliach goes and what to wear that, the Beis Din has a shaliach, he's subpoenaing people, and he doesn't have shoes to wear, and he puts on the chalitza shoe, nobody would mind. So it is made lehilucha, as opposed to the burial shrouds, they're also b'hana, you're not allowed to use them for something else, they're definitely lav lehilucha of it, as opposed to the Beis Din's chalitza shoe, nobody would object if somebody were to wear it. One of the shaluchim of the Beis Din were to wear it, nobody would get upset, and therefore it is considered lehalicha. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.